It's been real good being here with you folks yesterday and also this morning. I'm thankful for the hospitality and kindness shown to me and my wife. We checked out the neighborhoods yesterday a bit and had a nice supper. And to all the people who helped us feel at home, Bill and Karen and John helping out here, and the fellas leading worship and all the good music have been a real blessing to me personally, and we're so glad to be here. Just a little bit about ourselves before I preach. I didn't grow up hanging around church very much. My mom and dad were from two different churches their own selves, and they didn't go a real lot. My dad was Byzantine Catholic, and I would go to church with him a little bit. They were very formal services, and for most of my younger age, they were in the language of the Russian language. So I didn't know anything that was going on. And sometimes if you feel lost in a worship service, I can identify with you. Growing up in that context, the priest was very stern, and he was loud. And when he would preach, I thought, he's speaking right to me. I didn't know what he was saying, but I felt like, boy, I think I need some help from the Lord. And my mom was Russian Orthodox, and that was even a stricter way of worship. But when I was 16 years old, a Bible came into my home. Wouldn't you know, growing up in the United States of America, never had a Bible. Somebody gave a Bible. My brother was dating a gal, and she said, here, read this. And I thought she was cool. So I said, I'm going to read that book and see what it's like. And my heart was warm toward who Jesus was. It was the New Testament. And through reading that and hearing Billy Graham preach on TV, when he preached, I knew the message was for me, and I prayed to receive Christ from what he said about Jesus and the forgiveness of sins. My wife grew up in this background, even more away from the church than me. She was in a secular Jewish home, and so she ate a lot of Jewish food, never went to synagogue, so she wasn't real religious, but she had respect toward who God was. She knew she wasn't supposed to believe in Jesus, so she was told. But her mom would read her the Old Testament, and God would get to her heart through his word. And then a Christian friend of hers invited her to receive Christ and would share with my wife, Regina, about the Lord. And she prayed to receive Christ when she was in high school, too. So we're glad to know him, to walk with him, belong to him, and just the opportunity to follow him every day and to know him better. And thinking about the gift of knowing the Lord well in prayer, I'd like to help you through the message about your prayer life, if you're open to that. If you're bogged down maybe a little bit in your devotions, I'd recommend turning to the Psalms to meet the Lord in there. A lot of great praises to him and a lot of cries for help in the Psalms. You know, the Psalms are the most quoted book of the Old Testament in the New Testament. So the Holy Spirit knows New Testament writers and Jesus. They quoted the Psalms more than any other part of God's good word. So a lot of powerful messages from the Psalms. And David's own heart writing the Psalms, he wrote many of them, and he wrote Psalm 103. But a couple of weeks ago, I was looking for resources on prayer, and I came across a church bulletin from 1988, before some of the young ones here were born. And I said, why did I keep this church bulletin? It was a bulletin about a concert of prayer, which was a worship service held in another church across from where we lived. And so I asked my wife, why don't we go to this concert of prayer? I think there's going to be a lot of instruments there, a lot of singing, and it should be good. Just want to go and have a real casual time hearing some praises to God. Well, I got at that service, and soon into the service, the leader told me that most of the service was going to be us praying to the Lord in the pew and praying with people beside us who we didn't know too well. And you can imagine how I felt if I said that this morning. Most of the rest of this service, you're going to be praying. You're going to be praying with the people all around you. Your response might be like mine. Hey, where's the exit? You know, help me hide a little bit. I like to pray, but boy, praying, that could be it. I have to open my heart up to God. So that's going to be a life-changing thing. I was so blessed and surprised about what happened during that service. Early in the service, the leader said, we're going to take some time now just to praise God for who He was in our prayer time. And I had done that a little bit before in my prayer life, but not a real lot, talking to God that way. And when people did that, I began to hear things about the Lord that I had forgotten. And I just not experienced Him that way very much, that He had shown us in the Scripture. Somebody would pray, Lord, thank You that You're beautiful. And that impacted my heart. And another would pray, Lord, thank You that You're holy and that You're our righteousness and that in God there's no faults. You know, we can't say enough of good things about Him. We can never exaggerate about how great the Lord is. Did you ever think about that? Because He's always greater than we think He is. And then someone prayed, Lord, thank You, You're the way, the truth, and the life. No one can even come to the Father but by You. And I was really blessed, again, by remembering who God was. Later on, reading Psalm 103, I felt like David, that we in our prayer time there, we were just saying in our hearts, praise the Lord. O my soul, everything that's in me, praise His holy name. And don't forget the benefits of who He is. A couple weeks ago, I did a little study in the first 10 Psalms. And each of those 10 Psalms, the Lord is addressed in a way that He had revealed to David about a problem David had. Sometimes David would say, Lord, you're my shelter. In another Psalm, David would say, Lord, You're my king. Another Psalm, David would say, Lord, You're my refuge. And all the ways God tells us about Himself, He invites us to do in the Scriptures. Later on in Psalm 103, David, he wanted everything, including people, to praise God like that. He said, praise the Lord, all you His angels. I don't know about your prayer life. I usually don't tell the angels to keep praising the Lord. But David did that. Then he said, praise the Lord, all you His servants, angels. And that would be too, we could say we're servants of His if we follow Him. And then praise the Lord, all His works. Every part of God's created world gives Him praise. And Jesus said one time, if we don't praise God for who He is, certainly the rocks will. And it's just a rock of what He made can do that. So just to encourage you this morning and to invite you to praise God in your prayer life and know Him in that way, and it'll make a change and a difference for you, I believe, and be a real help to you. And Jesus taught us, you know, to praise the Lord that way when He said, when you pray, pray like this. We prayed together during the service. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. And we're just telling the Lord at that point, Lord, we always want Your name to be honored and held with great love and respect more than anything else. Holy is Your name. Jesus would address the Father in a praise way in Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. Right before He invited people to come to Him who were weary and overburdened, He prayed. He said this, I praise You, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. So in his heart-to-heart relationship with the Father, He wanted to be close to Him, called Him Father, and He had great reverence for Him, Lord of heaven and earth. And the Lord invites us to a prayer relationship like that, I believe. And just to attack maybe for a little bit the sin of prayerlessness in our life, which trips us up real easily, all of us. Someone once said, you know, I only pray when I'm in trouble. And I'm in trouble all the time, so I pray all the time. Maybe you identify with that. And another fellow said, oh, that's a good thing. That motivates us to talk to God, but I pray when I know I'm blessed. And I am blessed all the time, so I pray all the time. And God draws our heart to Himself in prayer in spite of our own not seeing Him or not paying much attention to Him. If you'd go to a marriage counselor and say, hey, what's the number one problem between people, between husband and wife? He'd probably say, number one problem is, can you guess it, communication. Communication. Just being able to know what's going on heart to heart. Ask any of the children who are here. Number one problem between children and parents. My parents don't understand me. We don't have anything going on. They're kind of out of bounds. Parents think the kids don't listen. What's the matter with kids today? Communication problem. Problem between us and the Lord? Communication. Don't always heart-to-heart talk to Him. Billy Graham, he loves the Lord. He was asked, how do you bring refreshment and new life to believers? He said, well, I'll give three suggestions. Pray. God invites us to do that. And when we don't do that, we grieve the Lord. Parents, do you like it when your children don't talk to you? It hurts your heart. It hurts the Lord's heart when we don't talk to Him. Young people, do you like it when your friends don't talk with you? You go to school, what if your friends didn't talk with you? You'd feel like you didn't belong, or maybe we're out of place. We don't want to make the Lord feel out of place, because He's King. Let Him take up rightful residence in our hearts. So the Lord invites us to repent if we don't have a prayer life that stays in touch with Him, just heart to heart. And if you sense the Lord saying, let's speak together a lot this week, you could do what the Bible says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. We could forsake our wicked ways and know His goodness. Well, He invites us, if my people called by my name, that's us who receive Jesus, humble themselves and pray. And the Lord invites us that way. And when we do that, we meet a God who is mightier than we know. A mighty God. And when we praise the Lord in our prayer life, I think we gain a confidence and the ability to repent because we see ourselves in light of His holiness. That's what happened with Isaiah in the Bible. When he was worshiping the Lord, he heard the angels say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth are filled with His glory. And Isaiah was so overwhelmed by who the Lord was, he said, woe is me. I'm undone. I need the Lord's help. And that's what happens when we turn to the Lord. I'm so thankful. When we turn to the Lord in our prayer life, all that is within us, seek Him or praise His holy name, no sin problem that we have is too big for Him. We gain a confidence in who He is. I'm thankful as a pastor. Whatever sin problem that people have had and struggle with, like we all struggle with, our own rebellion, the Lord is bigger than our sin problem. And He comes as a mighty God to help us. And He's here to help us this morning. If you're here this morning, you came to a worship service, that's very good. But maybe you've never received Christ into your life. Christ would knock on the door of your heart like the dearest, most tender friend would. He invites you to open the door. And He would come in and be with you, and you could be with Him. And there's no part of your life that the Lord wouldn't want to touch and make it to be a beautiful thing on behalf of Him. Sometimes the things in our lives we think are great weaknesses, great points of rebellion, can turn into points of strength and honoring to God. When we turn to Him, remember who He is. He's infinite and our sin is finite before His holy name. So to invite you in your prayer life, be like David. Lord, everything that is within me, bless Your holy name. And a couple of things happen to me when I pray to the Lord like this. First, I remember who God is, and it calms my heart about the real problems and struggles that I have in life and people have in life. Before coming here to Norwin Alliance Church, in the middle of the week, I was thinking about the week and everything that would happen this weekend, and I started to get butterflies. So we get those butterflies, and they don't go away right away. And for the first time, I'm thinking, boy, this feels strange. It felt like I felt the first time I went off to camp as a child. Went away from mom and dad. I'm riding the bus. I'm thinking, what am I doing on this bus? Man, I was really, butterflies, had them for a couple days. But when I thought of coming here, I started to say, okay, Lord, this is not just a butterfly time. What about You're a shepherd. You're the Lord. You're my King. You're my comforter. And My confidence is in you. Remembering who the Lord was, pretty soon, butterflies, they were just... The Lord took care of them. And a fellow named Jack Hayford, who has a good prayer life, he has said this about when we thank God for who He is in prayer. Listen to what he said. He said, God has given us praise as a means for recovery, restoration, and refreshing. You think about the painful experience that some of you may have had, and why people come together after a loved one dies, and they gather to worship Jesus. And they actually spend time in the most painful time in their life saying, Lord, thank you for you. Thank you that you're the resurrection and the life. Because it's in praising God for who He is that He's able to touch the parts of our hearts that are going to most hurt and most difficult. And praising Him in the prayer doesn't erase the pain, does it? Not a magic formula. But what it does, it sets our hearts and our problems in the light of who Jesus is. Shepherd, the door, the way for us. I was so pleased looking at the open Bible here this morning. It was turned to a page where all the I am sayings of Jesus were listed. I am the vine. I am the light of the world. And remembering who God is in our times of real brokenness can bring that start the restoration process to our heart, and God will meet us there. We had that experience for my wife and I 8 years ago. Our youngest son had to go to Children's Hospital. He was in the hospital for 2 weeks. He had some kind of real bad intestinal reaction, and he had internal bleeding, which they could not stop or didn't know why he was having this. So, of course, they had to do surgery, and he had to go about 7 days without food or water. And he's 2 years old, so he's real thirsty and hungry. He's getting fed by intravenous tubes and things, but doesn't quench the thirst like a nice cookie would, you know, or a glass of milk. So he's crying, complaining every day. On his case came a Dr. Gardner, who was very kind, very compassionate, worked with my son through this recovery process. And we didn't understand the ins and outs of how he was going to help my son through all this. We didn't know the medical technicalities of it. But when the physician was there, because we knew he had the skill, he was caring, things were going to be okay. Not okay overnight, but they were going to be okay. And when we bring our hearts remembering who our great physician is, remember him for who he is, would you? Talk to him for who he is. Our hearts will be calmed, and we'll grow with the strength and trust in him. We'll be able to say like the hymn writer, Billy Graham's favorite hymn, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins, griefs to bear. Every person in here this morning has sins and griefs. We bear them around all week unless we hand them to Jesus. Lord, you take the weight. You take the weight for us. And so praising the Lord helps us. The second thing praising the Lord in prayer helps us with gives us confidence to obey God. Well, I can obey God because of who He is. Because I realize that when we walk, it's not by and accomplish things in life. It's not by might, power, by His Spirit, says the Lord. And Mr. Hayford says this, when we pray, asking God to work in our desire to follow Him, he says, when we pray, it's not we tell the Lord this, Lord, I'll give you everything I have, and you bless me, okay? Make a deal with the Lord. Give you everything I have, and you bless me. Mr. Hayford said, the Lord invites us to this instead. He tells us, In our life, hey, you bless my name. Like David did, everything within him, bless his holy name. You bless my name. And the Lord says, I'll give you everything I have. His help, his presence, his strength, things we don't have on our own. His love, his friendship, all the blessings of the Lord. So praising the Lord in prayer. I got the title from the sermon today, making much of Jesus in prayer from a song, I think it's Stephen Curtis Chapman. He sings a song. He's talking about living for the Lord. I want to make much of you, Jesus. I want to make much of you, Lord. Much of his cross, much of him. And just to close with a story of a life changed by meeting God for who he was. Story from a young woman named Stormy O'Mardian. One of the Sunday school classes finished up a study of a book that she wrote. Well, her and her husband's been involved in Christian music for a while, but she had a real rough background. Her mom and dad neglected her a lot. They had big problems, and she bore the brunt of them. And she was abused, locked in a closet, and just really treated poorly and very badly. And, of course, this affected her when she grew up. She walked around with all these hurts and being anxious, being depressed, not quite understanding why. And she tried some relationships thinking they were the answer. In two relationships, she became pregnant, ended those pregnancies by abortion. She met a fella, thought maybe I'd get married, things would go well. That marriage didn't work out and went through divorce. And so she's a broken person. What's her hope? A Christian friend says, I know someone who can help you. Begins to gently share with her about what Jesus means to her. What Jesus meant to the friend. And Stormy O'Mardian prays to receive the Lord and starts to go to church, just like here we are today. And meet with Jesus. Get some strength from people. Hear his good word. And sing songs she didn't know too well, but they were praises to him. This is what she writes about praising God for who he was. She says, each time I was in a worship service, I was changed. I came to worship the Lord, but in the process, he changed me. She was like Isaiah. The tears of my life could only be released in the midst of unconditional love and acceptance. She was really starting to meet the Lord just by saying, thank you, Lord, for you. Worship and praise became for me a great blessing in prayer, thanking God for who he was. It began to take my mind off the things that were too big for me and began to see them in light of Christ. It communicated love and devotion, reverence and appreciation, and thanks to the Lord for who he was. It was exalting God for who he was. And it was a chance to be close to him just for the sake of being close. And she said that when she praises God in prayer, it's a part of her prayer life that changes everything. Because it changes her, opens her heart up to more to who God is. And I invite each of us to that in our heart-to-heart relationship with Christ. If there was a gift I could give you and give to myself, and it would be this, to take great joy and delight in who the Lord is. Because that's a part of our call. We don't have to wait to heaven to be real glad about him. We can be glad about him now. I've heard visiting missionaries often say that the things they struggle with on their, boy, they're serving the Lord. They have tough things. But they struggle with, sometimes there's not a lot of joy toward Christ, you know, that they see in people. And they're merciful. They know because it's because of a lot of brokenness. Maybe we wear ourselves out praising other stuff and garbage and idols that were meant to be gifts by God that certainly aren't bigger than him. But in your prayer life, could you take time to praise God for who he is and just fulfill that dream he has for you of delighting in him and following him? And what a blessing he'll be. In the scriptures, so many titles he gives himself. If you don't know where to start, start with the name that's above every name, Jesus. And, have your knee bow, your tongue confess to the glory of God. He's Lord, first place. And the Holy Spirit will guide you in that. And might you have that heart-to-heart talk with him throughout your life. And so when you... our life is over. We go to meet with him. We feel we're home because we've been speaking to the one who's our home throughout our life. And might you pray with me as we close today's message. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for who you are and so great you are. You're great and you're good. You're always that way, faithful and merciful. And to each heart here, Lord, each of us have more burdens than we could probably talk about in a morning even. Or if there's areas of rebellion in our life, we just can't seem to repent for sure without your help. As we draw close to you daily in prayer, help us to give the glory that is due your name. To say, holy is your name. And you bring to remembrance, Lord, or introduce us again to who you are, so we might trust and obey you each day. Pray for anybody here, Father, who just not sure of their relationship with you or going to heaven. Jesus, I pray that they see you for who you are, the Lord of heaven and earth, the Savior of any one who would cry out and say, Lord, save me. I need help. I need your forgiveness. Come into their heart right at this moment, Jesus, as they would pray and say, Jesus, come into my life. Be their good shepherd and Savior every day. And help us to make praise of you a part of our glad obedience to yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.